Steve-O and Mitch in the morning on Static Radio.
Please enjoy.
Lord, I find you in the seeking. Lord, I find you in the doubt. And to know you is to love you, and to know so little else I need you. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. Lord, I find you in the seeking.
KLYT Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Los Alamos. The static radio grid in New Mexico is K201BJ, Alamogordo, 88.5 FM, K218AK, Artesia, 88.1 FM, K207CQ, Gallup, 89.3 FM, K216AW, Grants, 91.1 FM, K211CW, Hobbs, 90.1 FM, K201CC, Las Cruces, 88.1 FM, K224CK, Las Vegas, 93.5 FM, K229AL, Cuesta, 93.7 FM, K250AB, Roswell, 97.9 FM, K220CE, Ruidoso, 91.9 FM, K212EH, Silver City, 90.3 FM, K216CK, Truth or Consequences, 91.1 FM, Colorado Grid, K214DE, Antonito, 90.7 FM, K293AO, Alamosa, 106.5 FM, and worldwide at mystaticradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, This isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
Go!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
And
yep,
we are back.
Welcome.
Yes, for another fix.
That's right. Shock Therapy Live kicks off now. If you've never joined us for Shock Therapy Live, it's a one-hour call-in show centered around you.
Yep.
And your personal life.
The narcissist dream.
Yes, we are not rocking any systematic theology. That's for Theology Thursdays with Pastor Jarrett. This is more personal. This is intimate.
Yeah.
This is deep. This is questions about life, questions about something going on in your world, relationships, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're for. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Or, of course, you can send in your emails if you'd like to keep it anonymous. studio@mystaticradio.com.
Yeah.
Our favorite buzz of the hour.
Or our favorite what of the hour?
Buzz.
Oh, because that little buzz.
Yeah, it's weird, right? You can hear that?
Yeah, it's like honeybees are crawling inside my ear.
No, no, no. It happens this hour. So you weren't here last week. I had my dear co-host, Mitch. Michelle, as I called her during
Meech,
Shock Therapy
as
Live.
As you called her.
Meech. With me last week for Shock Therapy Live.
You could just go James Bond, call her M.
You're in Califas.
Yeah, I was in California, yay.
Yes.
I was hanging out with the mouse.
Yeah.
The all-knowing, all-powerful mouse.
Had a blast.
Yep.
Refreshed, restored, rejuvenated.
Dude, it was nice. It was fun. It was a good time.
All the rewords.
Except, I will say this. Doing a road trip with two kids and a dog.
You drove?
Is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
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 Not fun. A dog and two kids is bad.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's just stupid.
We did that once in July and my air conditioner broke because it was so hot. Like things just started breaking in the car and
Man, I bet because then your kids are, Dad,
oh,
it's
dude.
Hot.
Yeah,
and you're like, I know it's hot. I'm hot too.
We all lost collectively about 60 pounds between the four of us. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Strange.
Yep. Phone number is 505-338-3700. I almost went for the phone lines, but I
know.
Forgot. We
I
have
know.
A producer now.
We've got someone who answers our stuff for us.
Yep. So get your phone calls in. There is still a phone line open, 505-338-3700. We got some anonymous emails.
Yeah.
The cool thing is we've been getting them throughout the week. So these have come between last week and today. If you would like to get your emails in, you don't have to wait until today to get them in. You can email us anonymously, studio@mystaticradio.com. What do we got?
We've got a very interesting email from an anonymous guy.
Okay.
Says, is cross-dressing sinful? Where to find help?
Okay.
This is not something one finds easy to discuss with members of my church. Christians have been known to throw other Christians under the proverbial bus. Under the proverbial bus.
Man, we actually had a caller call in a couple weeks ago talking about this with her husband. And I think, scripturally speaking, the place we went to immediately was Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, that says, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God.
Hmm.
So, is cross-dressing sinful?
So, hey, all you hipsters who wear girls' jeans, shame on you. Shame on you.
And is that what, I mean, that's a good question, bro, because you're right. It's kind of popular.
I don't know.
Right now,
I think the concept is more to the heart.
Yeah.
It's more than just wearing a piece of clothing, and not trying to look like a girl if you're a guy, or
would you
look
ever
like
wear
a
Janae's
guy
jeans?
If you're a girl. No, I wouldn't fit in them.
No, you wouldn't.
But I think it goes down more to the heart is if you're trying to identify yourself, if you're a guy and you're trying to find your identity in being a female, if you're a female and you're trying to find your identity in being a male, you're saying that you're not content with who God made you. You're saying you're not content with, the person that you are created in the image of God, that you want to be something else. And also with that, very often, and it's very seldom this doesn't happen, is there comes with that an attraction that if you want to look and be a girl, that means you want to like and be with guys. And so there's very often that correlation there. And this is the thing with any sin. It's a slippery slope, and you might start out cross-dressing and say, well, I don't like guys, you know, I don't like the same sex. But I believe it's probably only a matter of time until you will. I think it's a slippery slope that you're going down that path, into what is the unnatural, use of the body.
Now let's expound upon something real quick, because you made a comment and it's very popular these days. You say you know, you're going against who God made you, how God made you. There would be those that would argue today and say, but you don't understand, God made me this way. I've had these feelings since I was a child. I felt like this. I've always felt more tomboyish. I've always felt more like a female. I've always had these tendencies. And this is the way I was born, you know, and that tends to go more towards the homosexual lifestyle these days.
Very much so. And it's really interesting, because I think Christians really have a hard time with this. And
right.
It's so funny. I'll hear Christians say, that's not possible. You can't be born that way. You know, it's a choice, and it is a choice. But at the same time, I believe that you truly can be born with inclinations to certain sins.
Right.
The Bible says that we're all born into sin. And just as the same way that, you know, a serial killer can be born with the desire to hurt animals, or the desire to hurt people or hurt their brothers or sisters from a very young age, it doesn't make it right. Just because you're born with the desire, you know, when my son throws a tantrum, he's born with the desire to go nuts. Literally, some of the tantrums that he throws, I'm like, oh my gosh, if he was 6'5", there'd be mass murders going on right now. Like
right.
Heads would be flying,
right.
Limbs would be breaking. Like, he goes nuts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's born with that naturally ingrained inside him. That's called the flesh. That's called sin nature. So just because you're born with that desire, God didn't create you with that desire. God created you, and because of sin, because of Adam, because of the flesh, you're born with those desires and
right.
that sinful nature. And so, just like any sin, you have to choose not to do that sin. You know, my son's gonna have to come to a point, like when he's 11 years old, he's like, oh my gosh, when I throw these tantrums, I look retarded, to not do that.
Yeah.
He can choose to keep doing it, and, you know, he won't have a girlfriend, and that'll be awesome for me, because then I won't have to pay for a wedding. So, but, you know, he has to make the choice to either sin or not sin.
Yeah.
And that's the same for every human being.
I got yesterday in my quiet time, I was reading First Peter, and this scripture came up, and maybe this is I highlighted it. Maybe this is what it's for, because I want to give you some encouragement, because a lot of times we get these questions. Is this a sin? Is this, I don't know what to do. Check this out. First Peter chapter 5. Starting in verse 6 says this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's found in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, I say that because a lot of times people battle with things and struggle with things, and it's easy for us to say, well, that's a sin. It's obviously a sin.
Mm.
But there's no practical help there. And this is the practical help from God himself. God is faithful. This is not new to him. He's not shocked by this behavior. He's not shocked by this tendency. He's not freaked out. He's not dumbfounded without an answer. He knows. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that there is no temptation that has overcome us that is not common to man. Meaning, you're not alone. You're not the only one dealing with this. You're not the only one struggling with this. You're not the only person who's fought through this. You're not the only one that's ever had these desires before. You're not alone. And it continues to say that God is faithful, and that God will always provide a way of escape. I love the idea of being sober-minded. We're called to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength. When it comes to loving him with all of our mind, we have these thoughts, we have these tendencies, we have these things that can lead to an emotion. And that emotion will in turn lead to an action. And so what we need to do is take those thoughts captive at the thought. Because you start thinking about it, you start dwelling on it, then you get in this emotional state, and the next thing you know, it leads to an action that's probably not God-honoring.
Yeah.
And so you gotta start with that thought. Where is this coming from? Why are you having these? I believe we've answered that. And stop it there. And it's possible. God has given you everything you need to overcome this. You're not alone. You're not the only person who's ever dealt with this, who's ever fought through this. And I know, you know, because from his email, it says, you know, this isn't exactly something you can talk about with your Christian friends at church. And sadly, you're right. There's a lot of shockable people.
Hmm.
And we here at Shock Therapy Live try and be those unshockable listeners. We try to be that, so much so that when we get a question, it doesn't throw us for a loop. We just take it to Scripture.
Kind of look forward to it.
Yeah, see what God has to say about it. And so I just want to encourage you, man. You're not alone. Seek help. Seek God.
So he says that the church would throw him under the proverbial bus. Would that be the proverbial Martha Stewart bus?
I don't... I have no idea.
Or Mary Kay bus? The proverbial Mary Kay bus?
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. 505-338-3700, the phone number, if you'd like to call in. On line one, actually, let's go to the phone lines now. Hello?
Hello, you're on live.
Hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe I got through.
There you go.
So, good morning, first of all, and
good morning.
My question, how are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
Great. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks.
Good.
So I have a question in regards to tithing. My husband and I have just kind of been going back and forth, and we haven't had an opportunity to speak to our pastor. In regards to tithing, so... the Bible says you're supposed to give 10%, and if you're not doing that, but making contributions to radio stations, such as yourself, you're sponsoring a child, are those kind of factored into what is considered, or is tithing to specifically what's to the church?
Yeah.
So that's my question.
Yeah, so here's the way we break it down. Tithing is specifically for the church body.
Right.
So your tithe is specifically for the church that you're getting fed at, that you're getting blessed at, that is building you up spiritually. That is your tithe.
Right.
Now, things above and beyond that, so say you give to a radio station, or you support a child in Uganda, or you support Gospel for Asia, or other different various outside organizations, that's not so much as a tithe, that's just giving. And just so we're clear, when the Bible talks about tithing in the Old Testament, by the way, this 10% concept is only found in the Old Testament. And when it's found in the Old Testament, the 10% is the minimum tithe
that
is required by the Israelites.
Literally what tithe means. It means a tenth.
The tenth, yeah. And so, and that's the minimum. What happened is in the Old Testament, they were required to do numerous tithes to various different things. So they did the 10% tithe to the temple, then other tithes in various places that really equated to about 30 to 40%. So it was a lot higher. Now, when we get to the New Testament talks about tithing differently. The New Testament doesn't give you that 10% figure. Instead, the New Testament says that Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, that believers should set aside a portion of their income in order to support the church, specifically the church, where they're getting fed, where they're getting blessed. It doesn't designate a percentage of income that should be set aside, but it only says that it is to be in keeping with their income in 1 Corinthians 16:2. So the concept is if you're making more money, you're giving more money. If you're making less money, you're giving less money, which is, again, why the Christian church has taken on this concept of the 10% from the Old Testament, because it scales with your income. It scales with how much money you're making or how much money you're not making. And so this is what the Bible talks about in the concept of tithe. And we take that 10%, again, as a recommended minimum. A lot of people I know give a lot more to the church. Some, when they're in a really tough time, if they've got debt, if they've got other things, they'll tithe a little bit less for a period of time. But we just always want to make sure that we're giving from the heart. And I think it's good to give it a place where it's a little bit uncomfortable to give. I think that's a good thing to do, because you can be in a place where you say, man, I've got to really trust that this is God's money and that God's going to provide. And so I think that's a good thing.
Great. Well, thank you so much for that clarification. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Yeah, we were just talking about this New Testament. Paul mentioning that God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful, in the original Greek, hilarious, helos, right? So that's where we get hilarious, happy, wonderful. And you
so
said
God
it best.
Loves clowns who
he
tithe.
He loves a cheerful giver. He loves joy in giving, and therefore it is, as you said, the heart. It's the matter of the heart when you give. How are you giving? Of course, I thought of Malachi chapter 3, that back then, you know, Israel, divorce was rampant, social injustices were rampant. It sounded a lot like America today. And God straight up throws it at them. Hey, totally. You are robbing God. Well, how am I robbing God? And he goes into that. You can find that in Malachi chapter 3, which of course is Old Testament.
Yeah.
And people say, well, that's different. But the funny thing is in Malachi, he talks about how he's the same God. He did not change. He never changes. And so, yeah.
Totally.
Some things to go check out.
Totally. Hey, we got an interesting question. I don't know if it's a question or a weird comment.
All right.
Priscilla Whosoever says, spiritual warfare / handling a job / called in / sleeping in / ZZZ irresponsible.
Okay.
I don't get it. That's my answer. I don't get it, Priscilla.
Maybe she's got a job and she slept in this morning and she was supposed to be there at 9 o'clock.
And she blamed it on demons.
And she blamed it on spiritual warfare.
Why didn't you come into work today, demons? Oh, man.
This is me assuming a lot, obviously.
What do you mean? Like, no, like, literally demons. Like, I didn't come into work because of demons.
Well, maybe this is it, because she says irresponsible at the end. So the question is this, possibly. Let's talk about this. Spiritual warfare versus irresponsibility as a Christian. Do you think we as Christians put blame on outside sources? There are a lot of Christians who would say, man, there's a demon behind every bush.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean? And can use that
that's my demon.
Almost
that's
as a
my,
crutch.
They'll use it for their sin. Oh, that's my demon.
That's my demon. Spiritual warfare. So how much of it is spiritual warfare? How much is laziness, irresponsibility, or us using demons as a scapegoat because we don't want to have to confront the fact that we're just lazy?
I don't know. If you were lazy before you were a Christian, you're probably going to be lazy after you were a Christian. So.
Yeah.
If you're like super lazy and then you become a Christian and then you're like, oh, it's because of the demons. It's like, no, you were a lazy
individual.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Or, of course, you can send us in your anonymous emails, studio@mystaticradio.com. We've got a few to get to.
Yeah, we've got another email from Anonymous.
There you go.
Says, hey, I'm a teen and I feel like my relationship with my dad isn't going to last much longer. We fight every day and I've just taken too much from school and family that this has thrown me into a depression for 4 years already. So I was wondering what I could do to reach out that won't seem disrespectful or get him mad.
Whew.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, this is such a sad, fact of the day and age that we live in. A lot of people have poor relationships with their fathers.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get along with their dads. They feel a lack of love, a lack of relationship. And it's really hard and it's heartbreaking to see that. My dad had a rough relationship with his dad. And so I know what that can feel like. And I would just say, to sit down and be honest with them. I think that a lot of times in our day and age, in our culture, we can be very passive aggressive about things.
Yeah.
And we expect people to understand how we're feeling by looking at our weird, like, emo behavior. And they expect us we just expect people to understand us for some reason without talking to them. That's not the case. I think we need to communicate. We need to talk to people. We need to have real community with people. And I think that's weird to say because I think you can live in a home with somebody and not have community with them. And it sounds like that's the case with you. And so what I would do is I would maybe ask your dad, to go to coffee or maybe ask your dad maybe to go somewhere. If you're feeling like he's going to get mad and explode on you, maybe say, hey, can we go to coffee, dad? You know, I've saved up some money. I'd love to take you to coffee or something like that. And then sit down and be honest with him. Say, dad, you know, I feel like my relationship with you is strained. I feel like you look down on me. I feel like I can never do good enough or whatever it is that you're feeling. And let him know. Say, I feel depressed. I've been depressed for 4 years. And you might tell it to him and he might be surprised.
Yeah.
He might be heartbroken. He might truly want to, restore and repair that relationship. And I think that no matter what his response is, that it needs to have that honesty, in this situation. You need to talk to him, be honest with him. That's my two cents.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would write it out ahead of time even. Get your thoughts out in order. Get everything prepared because I know it can be a scary thing. You sit down in front of your dad. Obviously, it's something, for you that's a very scary deal. You're talking about not wanting to make him angry or, you know, not wanting to frustrate him. So how about this? Prepare ahead of time. Write down your thoughts. Everything you're feeling about the situation. Come to him with respect. Go to coffee, go somewhere, do something and sit him down and begin with, hey, I love you and I want our relationship to be right and restored. That way it is respectful, as you said, so you won't be disrespectful. And two, don't prejudge the expectation. If you guys have had a strained relationship for the past 4 years, I know a lot of times we can say, all right, this is it. You write everything down, you get prepared, you sit down in front of your pops, and you say, this is how I'm feeling, and you really want him to be like, son, I had no idea I love you.
Join the dark side.
And that would be incredible. And then he hugs you. But if he's standoffish and he doesn't understand, here's what not to do. Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. See, this is what I'm talking about. And then storming out, probably not the best way to approach it. So be prepared that he may not in that moment know or understand. And especially if it's been 4 years, this could be a big shock to his system that, wow, my son has these feelings and I had no idea. Hmm. So don't go in with any expectations of the situation. Just go in humbly, with love. Prepare your thoughts and see where it goes, man.
Yep.
As a dad, I couldn't fathom. If my son sat me down like that, I would be heartbroken. I would cry and hug him.
Man, even now, like when I see that my son gets his feelings hurt, yeah, it breaks my heart.
It's the worst, right?
The other day, I was holding my daughter and she's trying to go to sleep. She's drinking her bottle and Seth has this ball and he's throwing it around. He looks at me and he goes like this. And I'm like, Seth, do not throw that at your sister. And he throws it, and I grab it and go, boom, and throw it back at him and hit him right in the chest with the ball. And he looks at me and he goes, Dad! And he runs out, and I'm like, aw. Okay, now anyone who's listening, you threw a baseball at him? No. It was like a little soft foam,
no,
like
right?
A Nerf.
Hold
it was like
on,
a
CYFD's
Nerf ball.
Online too.
Right? No. It was like a little Nerf ball.
Yeah.
But man, I just thought, If you hurt your son's feelings for 4 years, and he didn't like you or felt like, oh my gosh, that'd just be heartbreaking.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd help if your son stayed like 2 years old and he was super cute all the time.
I don't know, bro.
I don't know. Adolescence? I'm scared for adolescence.
I'm kind of okay with right now 9 and 7. If I could pause Jack and Luke right now, cause it's like their first year of Little League, find out this week what team they're on. They better be on the Angels, bro. Oh, they better be on the Angels.
Okay, is this kind of Little League where they actually keep scores?
Oh,
like this
no.
Like, oh, everyone's a winner.
Paradise
Hills. Boxes for everyone.
This is Little League where it's like, hey, the majors, you have a potential of going to the Little League World Series on ESPN. Yes, this is real.
Good.
The speed of the game freaked him out, I think, the first time. Took him to the batting cages, 40-mile-an-hour, you know, pitches coming at him. That was the speed of the game is a little up. So
how are these little kids pitching that fast?
They're not. For the minors or the rookies, they actually have a pitching machine. Dunk. Ball right down the middle of the plate.
I think they should have to pitch.
Well, Jack's league, they do have to pitch.
Do they?
Yeah, and I was there for tryouts, and kids were throwing it like 40s, 50s, 9 and 10-year-olds. And
so
then
those...
I realized I was a failure at baseball.
Well, that just means those dads were like the dads like every day since the time their kids were like two.
Yep.
Like, come on, get outside, let's throw the ball.
Yep.
Let's throw it, come on.
I know.
And then when they didn't throw it fast, they threw it back at them and hit them in
the,
like...
In the chest?
Yeah.
I know. And then they were like, Dad! And they ran in the other room?
Yep.
Oh, good job, you. We got to take a quick break. Coming right back, more of your emails, studio@mystaticradio.com. Phone line is open, 505-338-3700. Give Mitch something to do. She's our producer. So there you go. All right. We'll take a quick break. Right back with more of your calls. It's Shock Therapy Live, Static Radio.
Sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly who we are. This can cause us to question who God is. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ, and He tells us exactly who He is. Join Two Ministries in Santa Fe at the historic La Fonda on the Plaza, Friday through Sunday, April 19th through the 21st, for this year's spring retreat. I Am, 7 Statements of Jesus. Meet the Savior who never changes. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Join guest speaker Debbie Bryson and special music a guest Poema. Details at sheabq.org.
This is The Wire.
Hey, so this is how this works. You have a free event going on, and it goes right here in this spot.
Check. All right. St. Michael's is having a Friday night musical feast called Sweet. Do you hear how ridiculous I sound? Stop laughing. It's February 1st. It's February 1st? It's February 1st. I can't do this.
I'm going to go take a cough drop now.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mystaticradio.com.
Yeah.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mac with the true story of a thief who becomes a Jesus freak. he steals a leather folder from a van, thinking it may be valuable. But at home, he sees it's just a book. A story of a king who loves a far-off people so much that he sends his son to rescue them from their dreadful fate. The thief is so moved by the story that he returns the book to its owner, who welcomes him into a church meeting. The book, of course, is the Bible. The thief hears the whole story that night and accepts the son, Jesus, as his savior. And today, he pastors his own congregation. So it turns out that leather book was valuable. It held the most valuable gift ever given.
Are you a Jesus freak? Go online to persecution.com.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
Yes, and actually that's not true. We actually are planning on bailing. We're going to quit in a little bit.
Big voice guy was lying.
Yeah.
We're only here for a few more minutes.
Super, super lie.
Not true. We're here till 10. You can give us your phone calls, your questions. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. In the meantime, we got plenty of emails to get through. studio@mystaticradio.com. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, we've got a question from Anon, last name Mus. And no, literally that's what they put. They put
nice.
Anon Y for the middle name and Mus
I like
the,
it.
For the last
that's
name.
That's good.
Well, Anon Mus says in his novel, "I was hoping to gain some insight into fear. Recently I had a friend who told me that she had spent the night with a random guy and had sex many times throughout the night with him. When I told her I was concerned about her safety and concerned about her spiritually, she seemed to think I was attacking her and has told me to leave her alone. I've tried to talk to her a few times, but so far I haven't heard a word back. This incident has left me with a very painful knot in my stomach, and when I take a little time to think or pray about it, I realize that I'm worried for her in many ways. To broaden the perspective, this isn't the first time I've felt this way. This knot is very familiar whenever a friend tells me that they have done something, or the few times other friends have walked away. People have told me, trust in God or give all your cares to Him and pray about this. It'll get better. It's never gotten better. I'm still worried. I still physically hurts, and I wish I knew God's plans with them. So I guess my question, is this kind of pain normal? Am I worrying too much about my friends? If so, how does one step back? Is it better to be stone-hearted or to have a tender heart?" My first initial thoughts on this is that it's good to hurt for people.
Absolutely.
It's good to hurt for lost people. It's good to hurt for the brokenhearted people. It says in Isaiah, to the Israelites when they're complaining about a spiritual famine, about spiritual thirst, he says, satisfy the afflicted heart, satisfy the afflicted soul, pour yourself out and your light will be as the noonday, that I will pour rivers of water into you. And there's this concept that, a lot of Christians hear about hurting people and they just say, oh, well, they're getting what they deserve, or, oh, they're, you know, that's the consequences of sin. And they can be very stone-hearted about that. But a true Christian is someone who hears about the pain and struggles of someone else, and their heart truly goes out to them. Their heart breaks for them.
Yeah.
And my wife is this way. My wife is the most tender, loving, and, you know, just caring person I've ever met. And she will hear about a friend who's in pain, and she says her heart physically hurts, that it actually hurts her heart physically when she hears about this. And she just emotes with them on a level that not even I can emote with other people on. And so, I think that it's really good, to feel that way. But I will say this, a word of caution and warning. Don't let yourself feel responsible or feel, like you, are responsible for their spiritual progression, their maturity, or where they are in life. Because people that can feel very emotional for other people oftentimes can get to a place where you feel responsible for this person. You feel like it's your responsibility to keep them out of trouble. It's your responsibility to keep them on the right path. And if they go on the wrong path, it is your fault that they're doing so. And that's not the case. So don't let yourself get to that kind of a place. Make sure you have, a good understanding of scripture, a good understanding of free will and choice. Mm-hmm. And you can be a loving friend that cares for them and talks to them and is there for them. No matter, you know, it sounds to me like you're the person that if this person came back to you over and over again and said, I messed up again, that you'd be there with open arms to love them.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful, but also understand the reality of Scripture and speak truth to them that, that sin does have consequences and that they do need to do what's right, or there are consequences to that. And so make sure that you have an even mixture of love, but then also truth.
Absolutely. I thought of a couple things. I thought of Philippians chapter 4 that talks about, you know, not being anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And that peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind. Because whereas it's okay to have sorrow and don't let that consume you, as you had said.
Yeah.
I also thought of John chapter 11, just to give you some insight into the heart of Jesus. John chapter 11, is, you know, Lazarus, dude's dying, sick. Mary goes to him, right? And, when he finds out, that Lazarus had died, and Mary comes to him and says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And then again, a little later, it talks about, you know, I mean, Jesus wept. It talks about it in verse 38. Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. He was deeply, when he saw people hurting, it says he was deeply moved and greatly troubled.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurt to see people in pain. These are, he loved so much and loves that, he was greatly troubled. He was deeply moved. And so don't let that, freak you out that you have that pit. I've had that plenty of times when I hear something and my heart breaks for people.
And
it's okay to have that.
And I think that's the right response to sin.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, when you see sin, even if it's a small sin, the concept that it's that sin that put my Savior on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, and sin is what nailed him to that tree. And when we think about this concept, sin is very painful and it's very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And so, when we understand the reality of sin, then it becomes something that we respond to a lot differently than when we didn't quite understand it. So.
Agreed. Absolutely. Thank you for the email, Anon. Why mouse?
E-mus.
Yes. If you would like to get a question in, studio@mystaticradio.com, or of course, 505-338-3700. Looks like we got like a few over here too.
Oh.
Just check and see if there's, boom.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Well, one.
We got a couple.
Oh, okay. Is that one too?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got two.
All right.
Should we answer one of these first?
Or sure.
Should we answer the, okay, let's answer one of these. Another person says, "I'm not sure if y'all talk politics." Nope, we don't. But here it goes. If that's not cool, I understand. Are my constitutional rights God-given rights? If so, does there come a time when we take back what God has given us, or do we sit silently and wait for God's vengeance? Sometimes it's hard to love others and respect government officials when all they want to do is take, take, take. Being a former member of the Air Force, I've learned the difference between respecting an official office as opposed to the person in that office. You know, we've kind of talked about this before.
A few times.
And I always love to say, that, you know, first of all, we're told that we're supposed to respect those governing authorities that are over us. We're supposed to honor them. We're supposed to respect them. I believe that's in Romans that it talks about.
Yeah, how about this? Romans 13. Says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment."
Now, check this out. When Paul wrote that,
he
was writing it to a group of people that were living under Roman rule,
right.
Which if you're complaining about like Barack Obama, and you're complaining about the current situation that we're living in right now in America,
right.
Okay, you need a reality check. Yeah. Go back to the first century church and go back to Rome and live under that governing rule, and then let Paul tell you to respect and honor that governing authority, and it becomes a lot more difficult than it is today.
Yeah.
We're talking about a government that was taking massive amounts of money from its people. We're talking about a government that was persecuting Christians in droves, that was murdering Christians. We're talking about a government that was extremely corrupt and extremely evil, a monarchy. You didn't get to vote in who is in your, you know, who's in your system.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very, very different scenario. And so I think that we have the right to respect and to honor the governing authorities up until the point that causes us to disobey God's rule. Yeah. So, for instance, if our governing authority builds a giant gold idol and tells us to bow down and worship it, then we go the Daniel route and we say, no, I'd rather get thrown into a furnace.
Right.
So, you know, we respect the governing authority up until the point that that causes us to supersede God's law. But this is the thing, you know, the right to bear arms, that's not a God-given right. That's a governmental right. You know, yeah. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you have the right to bear arms. If the government tries to take your arms away, keep your arms. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have the right to vote. If the government takes away your right to vote, then you have the right to, you know, throw a riot or, you know, overthrow right. the king. You know, there was people who tried to do that, the zealots in Jesus's time, and Jesus had strong words for them. He said that he didn't come, to overthrow, but he came to die. And when he returns is when he comes to rule. He didn't come as a reigning king. He came as a suffering servant. So, I think there's this balance that we have to find as Christians, between obeying the government and obeying God.
And there's a way to respectfully do it. We have Clay Schroff in every week from the Aspen Project, and they stand outside of abortion clinics, you know, because that's a hot, hot issue right now. We could probably fill up the rest of the show just talking about that. But they respectfully stand out there. They talk to mothers who are going into these places. They talk to them after they're coming out of these places, and they talk to them about the love of Jesus Christ. They don't scream at them. They don't hate them. But there is a law right now that allows for that. Same-sex marriage, another hot button right now. People talking a lot about same-sex marriage. Is it okay to say you disagree with it? Is it okay to, in a friendly, non-throwing things at people way, have discussions about this? Absolutely. Because let's be honest, the other side, is saying things, throwing things, as we talked about this week with UNM campus, getting rid of Chick-fil-A because, you know, even though 85% of students who were asked said, no, we don't care, we dig Chick-fil-A, the 15% that spoke loudly, said we got to get rid of it because it's, you know, making minority groups uncomfortable, especially the homosexual community on campus. So, UNM doing away with Chick-fil-A. So, there is a way as Christians for us to still respectfully be subject to the governing authorities, but have conversations about why we disagree with some of the things going on in the political world. Yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number.
We had two lines filled. Now there's just one filled. So,
all right. Shall I?
Someone cursed it at Meech and then hang up, apparently.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
Static.
Hi. I had a question, not political at all, but I keep on Facebook just to kind of keep up with my family and son that's in the military, and I came across a page that had an old boyfriend, like, from, like, teen years.
Okay.
Like, happy birthday to my brother. It was weird. And it, like, stirred up some, like, emotions. I'm remarried twice, and it's just strange, and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of dealing with this weird feeling that I haven't thought about in, like, over 20 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, should I talk to my husband about this? And it's like, I kind of want to close the website page, the Facebook, and I'm like, oh, it's all evil. But, you know, I kind of keep up with my son this way, and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Man.
How do you deal with that?
I immediately just think of discipline, to be honest. I mean, if you think Facebook, if you honestly think you need to shut down your Facebook page, then shut it down. Maybe there's discernment there. Or maybe it's a moment of discipline where you just don't need to go check out that dude's Facebook page, to be completely honest. I personally don't have a Facebook, and that's a part of the reason why. I don't know. I just don't. Who I want to keep up with, I keep up with on my phone.
Yeah.
But, I understand why people have Facebook pages, obviously.
What do you think about this topic of should she talk to her husband? Should she let her husband know?
Yeah, that's my curiosity here. Because, like, if he didn't know, like, okay, what she doing with, and he's going to say, okay, well, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, this is my thought.
And this is
hard. And honestly, I'm saying this just personally.
Yeah.
I don't know if by doing this it would bring strife to your marriage or what, but I think that a lot of couples aren't honest enough with each other, and they hide the way they're feeling, and they hide things that they, you know, that there's a lack of transparency within marriages today.
Right.
And I think that there should be more transparency within marriage. And so I think that if you're feeling a certain way, even if it's just, you know, there's nothing serious, just, man, if you feel in your heart that this is even a question you should talk to your husband, I think you should talk to your husband. And I think that can be something as simple as, look, I just want to let you know nothing happened. It hasn't even progressed even past the place of me looking at his Facebook and feeling feelings.
Right.
But I want to let you know that I came across a Facebook page of an old boyfriend, and I had weird feelings, and, you know, and explain to him what that is. And then tell him, say, would you like me to close down my Facebook? If you'd like me to close down my Facebook, I will, you know, what, you know, and seek his counsel on that subject, talk to him about it. Because I think that there's a lack of that in marriages today. I think that's a problem that people will hide stuff. They'll keep it, you know, inside, and then it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And then when it comes out, your husband's going to say, well, why didn't you talk to me, you know, when you first saw that, you know? And so I think that transparency can be good.
I also think I'm like 50-50 on this one. I got to be honest, because, as a man, let me ask you this question. Do you have an accountability partner? Do you have somebody that you go to, that you talk to about things like this?
Yeah, I have a friend I can talk to.
Because here's my thing.
No. Maybe this here's the question. Not just a friend that you can talk to. Do you have someone who is spiritually
mature,
who follows Christ, who loves Christ, and if you talk to,
who will hold you accountable?
Yeah, who will hold you accountable.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay. Teacher.
Because here's one thing that I think about, because, you know, I've been married 10 years now, a little over 10 years, and I have an accountability partner, as I know most men do. And there are things that go on in my thought life that I have to call my accountability partner and go, bro, I'm kind of struggling today. I'm kind of dealing with this today. I'm kind of going through this right now. And I'll be honest, I used to go to my wife with it was like this, okay, if I don't talk to my wife about, I was almost over communicative to a point where my wife finally said, like, dude, this is doing nothing but making me feel gross. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to. And that's what an accountability partner is for. However, if this is a situation where you've never talked to your husband, I got to be honest, it's like a weird, hey, honey, I haven't had feelings like this for 20 years, and I saw this guy's Facebook page, and it made me drum up some weird emotions. I just wanted you to know. All it sounds like it's going to do is tear him down.
I don't know.
I'm just speaking personally here. You know what I mean? We are called to speak the truth in love. And I don't know that there's anything loving.
Let me say this though. If I found out that my wife saw an old boyfriend on Facebook, my wife's really honest with me. If she sees an old boyfriend on Facebook, she's like, oh yeah, you know, so and so messaged me, saw this dude. And I'm like, well, how did that make you feel? My, like, I don't know. Didn't make me feel anything. And I was like, okay. And I'll talk to her about it. But if I found out that my wife saw an old boyfriend on Facebook and that she felt feelings for him and didn't tell me, and then I found out like 3 months later that she had felt those feelings for 3 months and never told me,
yeah,
I would be way more frustrated than if my wife right away came and told me and said, hey, I saw his Facebook page. I felt feelings. There's nothing going on. I'm not like, I don't want to pursue a relationship with him. I just want you to know. I want to be transparent with you. I want to be honest with you. I'd say thank you.
I think there's a difference between an ex-boyfriend, like, if my ex-girlfriend from high school, like, tried to contact me, like, email me or call me or something, to me, that's a different story. I feel like I would have to go, hey, dude, this happened. But if I was, like, cleaning out my closet and I had, like, old high school yearbooks or so, I don't know how I would see it. I'm just trying to think because I don't have Facebook. And saw a photo and was like, oh, dude, yeah, high school.
I agree with that.
And you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
where are you going with these feelings? I mean, obviously you've called into the show,
yeah,
so it's bugging you enough that you're dwelling on it and thinking about it. But
have you thought about pursuing this relationship with your
like,
ex-boyfriend?
What are these feelings?
Yeah. No, never.
Right.
He has a brand new baby, like 8 days old. I was like, oh, how cute. You know, I'm just I'm just like, I'm happy that he's happy with his relationship, and you know, it's just like, I know my husband, like I know he would be mad, like, for secrets. Secrets make him mad, for sure. Like,
I think you just got your answer.
Yeah.
I think you just answered your own question, to be honest.
It's like, this is, like, my first, like the first love of my life. So, I mean,
right.
And our marriage is, like, really rocky, and I don't want any, like, doubt in his mind. And so it's like, I don't want any secrets. At the same time, I don't want any insecurities. That's my,
Man.
Okay. Okay, here's the answer. You need to go talk to a counselor about this, and you need to kind of talk about, because this added a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You just added the level that your marriage is rocky.
Yeah.
And so that needs to be talked about. And that needs to be delved into before you can get the answer of how to respond to this. So my recommendation is to call up whatever church you attend and ask them if they do pastoral counseling. If they don't, Calvary offers pastoral counseling. I know a couple other churches in town do as well. Heights Cumberland, I think, does. A few other ones do. But call up a church that offers church counseling and seek some counseling on this subject and ask them what they say. Most churches, it'll be free. You don't have to pay anything. But I think that's what needs to happen, because I think this needs to be talked about of what's going on in your marriage currently to answer the question properly.
Yeah. Agreed. We don't know enough about the situation. Because to be honest, I'm like almost thrown off about the idea of just seeing somebody from the past and having emotions so much so that you would need to call in. You know what I mean? Maybe it's...
Well, there's been so... I mean, I wasn't like the best person, seriously. And so like there's... I've had old boyfriends try to contact me from... Like my mother gave them my phone number because she doesn't like my husband. So,
that's a little different. That's weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need to go talk to a counselor about this.
Absolutely.
I think there's lots of multiple facets to this, more than just, hey, I was browsing Facebook, I saw an old boyfriend. I think there's a lot of facets to this that need to be talked about. So I think your best bet is to call up a church counselor and sit down with a pastor.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks.
All right. 505-338-3700. Static.
Hey guys, good morning. It's Callie Deb.
Hey Callie Deb.
Morning.
Hey, listen, I really felt very struck by this last caller, and I kind of wanted to just give a comment about it. As an older school type of a person, that there was no Facebook growing up, and we did have yearbooks and stuff. And
right. So,
you know, when you were thumbing through them and what have you, you did see old faces and things, you know, as you grew older, and you showed people in your life that came into your life your yearbook. You know, oh, yes, where I went to school and blah, 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 and here's my, you know, pictures of so-and-so, and here's this person and that person. And sure, those feelings, I think it's, like, normal that those feelings come up in a way, only because it brings you back to that point in time. And let me just kind of make a hypothetical here. It's kind of like a musical thing. Like, when you hear a song and it brings you back to a time, when you see a face, it's the same thing. And if it's an ex, naturally, I think that there's going to be, oh, wow, it'll bring you back to the time. But I liked what you guys were saying about the feelings. And I think if the marriage is already rocky, and I can attest for that and rocky marriages, but when I'm happy in my marriage, I'm not going to want to pursue. And just like the word says, we're going to have the thoughts. But it's how we act upon those thoughts. And are we indeed, what are we doing with those emotions? And I believe that talking to somebody is really important, yes. And, you know, there's a saying called, of course, you guys know, you know, we're only as sick as our secrets. And, you know, somehow, obviously, you have to repair a marriage before you can bring such honest delicacies to that. I mean, not telling them doesn't necessarily mean that you're hiding it, but you also have to do it rather quickly, because secrets can also kill a marriage, and especially look at if it's a Christian or non-Christian relationship. I mean, I believe, you know, she obviously is calling the station for help, and that's great. And, you know, I just believe that 100% honesty, here was my motto. Hurt me once with the truth, but don't hurt me twice with a lie. That's kind of my thing. And so I just believe in that, and I believe that we are called to speak the truth in love, and I think that there's hope for the situation, because as long as we continue to deceive others, we're really deceiving ourselves, and we need to let God come into that and say to God, are we being transparent with you, God? Because if we're not, then we're going to be deceiving ourselves. We can't even begin to be honest with others until we are honest with ourselves.
Right. All right. Okay, I'm just so thrown off still. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about. Thank you, Callie Deb. I'm thinking about, like, you're driving home from work, Nate. All right, and a song comes on the radio that reminds you of high school and maybe a high school girlfriend, and this feeling comes over you. This random emotion comes over you. Do you immediately go home and say, "Hey, Janae, I heard the song on the radio today that reminded me of a high school ex-girlfriend. It made me feel weird. I just wanted to tell you."
No.
You know
but
what I mean?
this is the difference. This is the difference. Like,
now,
this is why I would say with the rocky marriage thing.
Yeah.
It's like, so, you know, my wife and I have looked through our yearbooks before, and like, I've seen ex-girlfriends in the yearbook, and I've said, oh, that's my ex-girlfriend. I'll tell my wife. And then she's like, oh, do you think she's pretty? And I was like, man, I'm so, like, no, like, you're my standard of beauty. Like, I think you're beautiful. And like, I reaffirm that fact that I love you. And, but this is the concept. If I had a rocky marriage, would there be the possibility that I'll look at that and say, oh man, I bet that that person would be such a better spouse, or I bet that that person, because then you begin to fantasize of who that person is. You don't know that
right.
person. Maybe they're a dirtbag. Maybe they're, you know, maybe that chick like gained 100 pounds and like you wouldn't want to date her. Or maybe that guy like, you know, is an alcoholic now and you wouldn't want to be with him. But you fantasize and you have this hypothetical that, oh, they're probably the perfect person. They're probably so much better than who I'm with. And that's when it becomes dangerous. And that's where you need counseling. That's where
I agree
to talk
with that.
To somebody.
That's the heart. And I think that's exactly what it is. Getting back to it, it is the heart of the situation. What is the heart of, that's why I was kind of wondering what was going on in her mind, because I didn't get the feeling. I remember one time running into an ex at Target, and I said, hey, saw this chick today. No, I didn't feel where it was, just awkward, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, I guess I just, I don't know, threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yep.
My bad. Sorry. We can move on. 505-338-3700 is the phone number, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can email us with your questions as well. We do take anonymous.
I think we've answered all of our questions.
Did we?
I think we did.
Okay.
I think we're.
What was this one?
I think
one?
We're good.
Here, I'm going over here. I saw that.
No, we. Oh, did we not answer that? Oh, yeah, we didn't answer that. Another email question said, how do I help my wife to learn to love herself? She's very depressed right now, kind of mad at God because things aren't going her way.
Wow. Pastor Nate.
Man. How do you help your wife to love herself? I think first and foremost, you love her, with just a complete, fully encompassing love, and you let her know that you love her. You stand by her, and then I think from there you encourage her to get involved with things that you know are going to be beneficial into her loving herself, with a women's ministry, with accountability, with discipleship. You encourage her in her Bible studies, in her quiet times. You just encourage her walk and her progress with God. And I think as she begins to feel loved by you, and as she begins to feel loved by God and have a deeper relationship with God, the love for herself, a healthy love for herself, will naturally come from that.
I like that. I agree with that 150%. I sadly, growing up, I dealt with low self-esteem, and I think it's something that had always carried over. And man, that love. Yeah, absolutely. Love on her. Tell her she's worth it. Give her flowers. I don't know what you gotta do.
Yeah.
You just gotta, you build that up in her. As a husband. Man, you're called to do that anyways. You build her up in love every single moment of every day. She's cherished. She's loved. And, yeah. Who knows what God can do with that? It's amazing. There
Good.
It is! That's the show?
Yeah, we're done.
We're done.
We're out.
We'll see you guys again next Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. You can catch the podcast there. And of course, we do this every Sunday night at 7 p.m., the re-air of this here show, if you missed it. I'm Steve-O, Pastor Nate with me. That's it!
Boom.
We out.
Boom.
Boom!
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.